from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. On Memorial Day, 52-year-old Raymond Zack waded into the bay off Robert Crown Memorial State Beach. And it was there in Alameda that an apparent suicide by Mr. Zack took place. He drowned. There's been ongoing criticism of Alameda firefighters and police who responded quickly to a 9/11 call but did not enter the water to try to reach Mr. Zack. And we take up the controversy in this Forum segment. Peter Hegarty is with us online. He is a reporter for the Bay Area News Group who's been following the story. Peter Hegarty, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Well, thank you, and thank you for inviting me to take part.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. Let's see if we can at least determine what exactly happened. The firefighters essentially said they weren't trained in land water rescue and that there were budget cuts and they couldn't do it. And the police said they were concerned about Mr. Zack being violent. I think that kind of says it in many ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell. And I think the first responders there were also noting that the Coast Guard had been notified and were on their way. So I think between those three issues, it kind of sums up what was happening at the scene.
But the big issue continues to be the safety of those people like Mr. Zack who need to call on first scene responders, and just the human decision as opposed to a political or policy decision to go out and help somebody.
Well, that's the issue that's really a lot of people want to see addressed, the idea that the folks that the public rely on for help did not intervene in this case, and that even a simple human response you'd expect them to at least do a bit more than just kind of monitor the situation as Mr. Zack got into more and more trouble.
Were they concerned about liability? Do we know?
That I don't know. I mean, that's kind of it's kind of the elephant in the room, I suppose, that a lot of people would say they had to have been. But I think if you spoke with firefighters or police officers on an individual basis, they would say they don't think along those lines. They were just thinking about the scene and how they would address it from that point on.
They've also been saying they need the proper equipment. There was an analogy made by one firefighter to essentially going into a burning building with a T-shirt or a police officer going into a gunfight with no gun. In fact, there was concern that he might have had a weapon even though he was in the water.
Well, I'm not too sure if they were specifically concerned that he had a weapon. I think it was more a case that since he was described as suicidal, that it was not a simple rescue and that other protocols would, you know, kick in.
Excuse me, those protocols would have been the fire departments, not the city protocols.
Yeah, the fire department, but also the police.
And the police, yeah.
They'd be looking at it as a different type of a case than if it was a straightforward suicide. But then others have pointed out that if somebody was even publicly intoxicated, the police would be expected to intervene just because an individual would be no longer able to care for their safety or the safety of others.
But it's my understanding there was a memo back in March of 2009 from the interim Alameda Fire Department that said firefighters are supposed to undergo water training, I mean water security training, and that was supposed to go into effect 30 days from that memo.
And according to that, never happened. And according to the interim fire chief, the reason is budget cuts. Now, the city council is going to take up the issue tonight, and I imagine these are some of the questions they'll want addressed, because obviously Alameda is an island, and there's lots of marinas and boaters, and you have Robert Crown Beach here, and the idea that, you know, firefighters cannot carry out water rescues through some policy decision, people are very upset about this.
And what else is being done other than a meeting? Has anything else been done at this point?
Well, I know both the police and firefighters are reviewing it internally. Now, what will come of that, I really don't know. And the mayor has pledged to have a transparent city investigation into what has taken place, an open review. And she has also said that if there is a policy or a budget decision that has led to this, that she wants it addressed and reversed.
Well, there was a good deal of concern, outrage. This story even made the news in the UK. It got international coverage. Peter Hegarty with us talking about it. If you'd like to talk about it, I'd like to invite you to join the conversation. I'd particularly like to hear from those in Alameda who have some strong responses one way or the other, who might have felt, well, I should be able to depend on police and fire for a rescue, or have some other concerns. And in fact, I just would love to hear from some of you who have concerns you'd like to air here or have some reaction to what happened, or from public safety workers who may indeed want to join this conversation. If you would like to join us, you can do that now. Our toll-free number is available to you, and feel free to join the program. It's 866-733-6786. We welcome your involvement in the program. Again, toll-free, 866-733-6786, or send an email to forum@kqed.org, or post a question or comment on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. Again, Peter Hegarty is a reporter with the Bay Area News Group, and we're talking about the Alameda City Council meeting tonight to examine the circumstances surrounding the death of Raymond Zack, who intentionally drowned himself in the San Francisco Bay on Memorial Day while police and firefighters stood by. And in this segment, we're getting your response to this tragedy. Should first responders always try to save a life, regardless of policy or protocol, is, I think, one of the central questions here. Let me go to some of your emails first. This is from a listener who says, even if the Alameda Police Fire could not respond because they were not properly trained, why didn't they call an agency equipped to respond, like the Coast Guard or Alameda County Safety Personnel? I'd like to see Alameda adopt this as its policy in cases where it believes it cannot respond to an emergency. That's from Jim in Santa Rosa, and I believe you had indicated, Peter, that they did call. The Coast Guard
had been notified, and they dispatched a boat and a helicopter, but apparently Mr. Zack was in water that was too shallow for the boat to reach him. And they had also the Alameda folks had also contacted the Alameda County Fire Department about assistance. And according to the Alameda County Fire Department, once the city of Alameda people knew that it was going to take at least 30 minutes for the Alameda County people to arrive at the scene, that they basically told them it would, you know, not to send anybody, that they were looking at other options.
Well, here's another listener, Alyssa Oakland, who says, I'm curious why the Alameda Fire Department didn't request mutual aid from Oakland's Fire Department, who have a water rescue program and shallow water boat. It is also so important in this age of cuts and layoffs that departments look to all the resources available to them and their citizens.
Yeah. I can't really speak from, you know, what was going on in the firefighters or police officers' minds, but this situation played out relatively slowly. Mr. Zack was in the water for approximately an hour, and there were about 90 people on the beach at its peak, where they were jogging and, you know, enjoying the water and stuff.
I read 70 witnesses, but they didn't do anything, really. Huh?
Right, and I think a lot of people were just expecting the police and firefighters to intervene. But Mr. Zack apparently just entered the water very, very slowly, and that the water started at his ankles, and he just gradually moved further and further out. So I'm not too sure how much of a danger the police and firefighters thought he was in, and all.
Well, we should mention
my own kind of speculation. I think that they said, well, the Coast Guard is on its way. We're monitoring him. You know, he seems to be standing out there. He was approached by a kite surfer at least, I think, three times. And
a young woman pulled him in.
That's right, yeah.
So. But this is bound, given the temperature of the water, to be lethal, and it was.
Right, right. I've heard that the water ranged from 55 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, I've read even lower temperatures than that. But let me go to another email here from Danny in Oakland, who says, the more deeply troubling issue, much more than even the budgets, cutbacks, certifications, et cetera, is that many people stood on the beach and watched for an hour, and no one would risk wading. It didn't even require swimming out to a depth of 6 feet to reach Mr. Zack until after he had drowned. This is our decade's Kitty Genovese moment. Life is not a movie.
No, many people have noted that, and have also made the analogy to that case from the 1960s. It is very disturbing.
To younger listeners who don't know, Kitty Genovese was a woman who was stabbed repeatedly and yelled for help, and That case has come under newer scrutiny, lo these many years later, but it was clear that people could have helped and didn't. Let me go to more of your calls. Let me go to your calls, and we'll start with a West Marin caller. Whitty, you're on. Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
As someone who's a Red Cross certified water safety instructor, and even as someone who isn't, I can't imagine people standing by. I think it's ludicrous. I think it's the saddest commentary on what's wrong with us, not only in our systems, but as people, it's immoral. And that's my comment.
Okay. Thank you for the comment. And indeed, it would appear, Peter Hegarty, many people share those sentiments.
That's a sentiment that's very widespread within the community in Alameda right now.
And we'll go to another caller here, and that's Monica. You're on.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just recently heard about the death of Dr. Kevorkian, and this story just reminded me of it. There was a man who went to jail for not assisting people in suicide, and I'm curious. I'll take my answer off the air, but I'm curious if there's any discussion about from a moral standpoint, if these firefighters are in fact guilty of something. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for the call, Peter Hegarty. Do you know about the discussion?
Can't really comment on that. I mean, I would imagine that these firefighters are, as individuals, I would hope, are reflecting on what took place. And
well, there is a good.
I know the department is on top of just the department's official investigation and review.
No, but excuse me, there is a Good Samaritan law where, you know, you can be prosecuted for not coming to someone's help when indeed it's clear and evident that that help is needed and required. I'm not sure about the statute, but I remember talking about it on the air.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Well, we'll go to some more callers. We'll go to an Alameda caller next. Adam, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a storage unit that's somewhat near the beach, and I was paying my bill, and a police officer had come in and requested to pay a bill. And incidentally, that bill happened to be the gentleman that drowned himself this previous Monday. While he was paying the bill, I asked the officer why exactly it was that nobody within the department had saved him. And his response was that there's nothing illegal about drowning yourself. And then went on to pretty much get in my face and explain that it's not his department's responsibility to put their men at risk to save anyone, and that it's not the police or the fire department's job to save anyone.
Well, police or fire personnel that you've talked to, Peter Hegarty, been taking that line? As you said, there's been a lot of reflection, and I assume serious and profound reflection, but that kind of attitude that this caller talked about?
No, I mean, I think most of them are upset with what happened. I've spoken with former Alameda police officers who've retired, and they just wanted to kind of get their perspective on things, and they were frustrated and angry about the situation. They thought it should never have happened, that it got essentially out of hand by letting Mr. Zach go further and further out in the water, that somebody should have intervened and at least try to convince him to come back to shore.
Again.
So most of them that I've spoken to, even the ones that are currently on the force, it's they regret that it happened. They wish it didn't happen, obviously. And that's kind of how it is right now.
That's the nub of it, huh? Peter Hegarty, again, is a reporter of the Bay Area News Group. Can you describe for a listener named Jason, he wants you to paint a clearer picture of the scene, where and was it on the beach and how far out and so forth?
Yeah, it's Crown Memorial State Beach in Alameda, and it occurred across from the intersection of Shoreline Drive and Willow Street. It's a very placid, calm beach. It's not, you know, Point Reyes or something where it's kind of a rocky shore. It's very calm. There were people right at that scene playing volleyball who initially noticed Mr. Zach because he's a very big guy. He's more than 6 feet tall, and he weighed 280 pounds, and he was pacing slowly back and forth along the water's edge, which the witnesses told me they thought was odd. And then he faced the bay, and he gradually walked in. They said, witnesses told me that he moved inch by inch, is how they described it, that the water went to his ankles and just kept going further and further out. He kept walking further and further out. By this time, some of his family members had arrived at the scene, and they knew that he was despondent, and they tried to get him to come back to shore, but he just ignored them and just kept moving. And they flagged down a passerby and asked the passerby to call 911, which triggered the emergency response. And by the time the first police officers got there, the water was about up to Mr. Zach's waist, I understand. And they essentially were monitoring him, watching him from the shore. I think one of them had binoculars, I believe. I'm not too sure about that. He kept moving further and further out. More and more responders arrived. And he eventually went out approximately 150 yards from shore, where people lost sight of him. Was just essentially his head above the water.
Do you know if his weight was a factor in inhibiting the place of fire personnel? No,
I don't. I mean, I know some officers have noted it in the sense that if they had to go out and he became violent or decided that he was not going to return to shore, that it could be an issue in, you know, 6 feet of water in the bay.
Can you elaborate on the woman who pulled him in that I alluded to?
I don't. She has requested to remain anonymous. Apparently, she's in her 20s, and she's a strong swimmer, and I believe she has a medical background, and that when his body was floating face down and was about 50 yards from shore, she just decided on her own to go out and grab him and pull the body in. And when she got to the shoreline, some firefighters helped her pull the body fully onto shore. But we've tried to speak with her publicly, and she has said that she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to be identified and doesn't want to comment. So,
well, here's a comment from a listener named Lila who says, "What I'm further surprised about, beyond the inaction of the police and fire department, is the inaction of the witnesses. Alameda's an island town, and this was a holiday. I would imagine at least one person watching was a strong swimmer. It's interesting that cities are so often accused of creating emotionally distant people, but then examples like this bring home the fact that we have a larger issue of fear of getting involved that crosses all communities."
Right.
And we'll go to another caller who's joining us from Austin, Texas. Bill, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Michael. I just want to offer a public safety perspective on things. I'm a flight paramedic and a rescue swimmer. I do that full time. And I know it's difficult to get into all the specifics and the details in this short of a program on this, but the fact that there were that many civilian people standing on shore who, as you point out, did not intervene, as well as the police and the firefighters, really speaks to that there must have been details regarding this circumstance that made people either think that it wasn't necessary to intervene until it was too late, or that it was unsafe given the circumstances. And public safety officials, yes, were trained to intervene in dangerous situations, but were also trained to mitigate that risk and not to intervene when the safety to the rescuers, us, goes beyond what is reasonable and what is acceptable. And of course, we have to constantly be making that decision as events unfold. But the fact that the Coast Guard was on the way speaks to the fact that I think they were monitoring the situation the best they may be able to have been able to do. And of course, I wasn't there, but I just wanted to offer that perspective.
I'm glad you did, and I thank you for it. And here's another perspective, which certainly has some anger to it. This is Bill in El Cerrito who writes, "Once again, Monday morning quarterbacking is taking place. You think because you pay my salary, you can tell me how to do my job? If I am not trained in a rescue technique, it is not safe for me to engage in such activity. If I go ahead and perform such a task, you are considered a cowboy and will also be disobeying orders. I can get fired or possibly sued for such actions, maybe even by the very person I'm trying to save or their family. It is also considered a crime scene and the police department are in charge. Once again, learn my job and responsibilities before criticizing me. Kitty Genovese has nothing to do with this. It's a spurious analogy, an assault murder, and this man walking into the ocean, suicide attempt, have nothing to do with each other. They are different situations and are handled differently. It shows how ignorant the general public is of my job and its responsibilities. If you want the Alameda Fire Department to do water rescue, why cut their funding for it? You taxpayers cannot have it both ways." Some thoughts from you on that, Peter Hegarty?
Well, I mean that's a sentiment too that other people share. I mean, and the caller from Austin, Texas, the previous caller, just, I think, made a lot of valid points in terms of how public safety officials view a scene like this, and you know, how they make the decisions they make. So,
well,
these are all questions that I think people are. Want answers to.
Well, here's another email from an anonymous listener who says, "A few years ago, a San Francisco firefighter tried to save a suicide from a roof. The jumper was successful in a suicide, almost pulling the firefighter with him. The family of the suicide sued the firefighter personally. I'm the father of a firefighter who has lots of insurance because of this incident."
Yeah.
And here's Nora, who says, "The saddest thought about this story, that a man who probably thought no one cared about him turned around in the water and saw any number of people not coming to his assistance. Possible evidence in his mind that he was indeed correct." And here's George, who writes, "It's absolutely inexcusable that no help was available in direct proximity to the Coast Guard station. If the Coast Guard cannot come to the assistance to someone in protected waters less than 2 miles from their base, why are we spending any money on this branch? Coast Guard is there to do exactly this. What is the use of a $1 billion cutter if they can't come to the assistance? Coast Guard does not seem to be able to handle anything they cannot shoot at." And we'll go to more of your calls. Welcome, Kyle. Rob is on. Hi, Rob.
Yes. Hi. I'm an Alameda resident. My spouse works for the city of Alameda. I've worked closely with the city of Alameda. I have lots of friends in the Alameda Fire Department. And I just want to, I don't condone what happened on the part of the firefighters, but I just want to give a little insight. Right now, the city government is under, a horrible budget crisis, and not that excuses what's happening, but there's a threat of layoffs. And the city government works by, you know, the threat of insubordination or the threat of the accusation of insubordination is terrifying. And so the people aren't, you know, city governments and city employees aren't rewarded for, you know, innovation or any sort of meritocracy. They're rewarded for doing exactly what their supervisors tell them. And when there's a standing order to not perform a water rescue, you know, the firefighters are standing on the beach thinking, I could either try and rescue this guy and lose my job and lose support from my family and kids. And in this economy, I'm probably not going to find another job for a long time, or I can go out and lose my job. I mean, that really is what's going through their mind. I know this.
Okay. I thank you for that call. We're getting both perspectives here, and I think it's really quite valuable, and I want to get to more of your calls. And Matthew, thanks for waiting. Join us.
Hello. Thanks for taking me. I was just wanting to make the point here that this guy was suicidal, and that's a whole lot different than someone who is just a regular victim. He, you know, the fact that he walked out away from people, he didn't necessarily want to be rescued.
That's a fair point. Peter Hegarty, want to come in?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what the police perspective that I've gotten from officers was that, again, it's not like somebody who's a swimmer who's having difficulties in the water. This is an individual who is showing signs of mental illness and who's determined to take his own life. And that scenario creates a whole different dynamic. And so it wasn't a straightforward rescue scene.
Certainly. Thank you for the caller. And we go to more of your calls. Jonathan, join us.
Yeah, hi. First, I'd like to offer my support to the people who unfortunately had to see this traumatic incident, all of them. They're having a rough time just thinking about it. But I'm a psychologist, and I was a community mental health worker in Central Illinois. And whenever there was a call like this, either suicidal or danger to others, one of us got paged. We just rotated a pager. It didn't add any cost to the county. One of us got paged, and the police would wait for us to come. And we talk about what to do. And I'm from Sonoma County, and we've had many instances of police ending up hurting or killing people with mental illness issues that were being assaulted in some way. And I just think in the greater Bay Area, it would make some sense to have a real trained professional out on call. And you can't prevent all these unfortunate occurrences, but, you know, in this case, it'd be nice to have someone out there to help the spectators if he did, in fact, complete his suicide with, you know, handling the trauma after the event, as well as perhaps just having another perspective on how to handle the event as it was unfolding.
Has that come into play at all here, Peter Hegarty?
I haven't really heard that, but I know that the witnesses that I have spoken to do feel that they've been traumatized by the event, and they've found it just kind of hard to come to grips with and to understand exactly what happened. Some of them do seem to have kind of a sense of betrayal that the first responders that they were kind of assuming they could rely on to intervene apparently were not doing it to such an extent that Mr. Zach's life could have been saved.
All right, we're getting a lot more.
They're wrestling with that issue, too, like what they witnessed on that side of things.
We're getting a lot more emails here with opinions, and I wanted to at least give them attention here. This is Evan,
okay,
who writes, the police and fire personnel who stood by and did nothing while a man drowned off Alameda were derelict in their moral duty. Regardless of training, at some point humanity should be the decision maker. And another listener, Stuart, writes, important correction, and thank you for this. He says, Good Samaritan laws are laws or acts protecting those who choose to serve. I'm a NERT, Neighborhood Emergency Response Team member. And Good Samaritan laws are laws or acts protecting those who choose to serve and tend to others who are injured or ill. They are intended to reduce bystanders' hesitation to assist for fear of being sued or prosecuted for unintentional injury or wrongful death. Doesn't mean you have to help. It means if you do help, you're protected from being sued.
Okay.
And David writes, crowds doing nothing is a surprisingly common occurrence, so much so that I was taught how to deal with it during first aid classes. Everyone assumes somebody must be doing something, even if nobody is. If you think somebody's in trouble, point out other people in the vicinity, preferably by name, and assign tasks to them as individuals, which creates a sense of responsibility. Tom writes, did the police prohibit any of the bystanders from entering the water to help? It's one thing to have people stand by and not help. It's another to have them prohibited by the police who are not themselves helping. It's my understanding there was no interference with keeping those witnessing from going in the water. Was there, Peter Hegarty?
No. I mean, like I said, there was a kite surfer who approached Mr. Zach, I believe, three times. And I think reported back to the responders at the scene in terms of what Mr. Zach was saying or not saying. And nobody stopped the woman who eventually pulled the body closer to shore. So, again, I think that as this played out, people were almost in a holding pattern or wait-and-see pattern to see how it was going to develop. And I think both the firefighters and the police and the witnesses were all in that kind of state of mind.
And we'll bring more of our callers on. Gary, join us.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to point out that if he had chosen to sit on the railroad tracks where a train was due to hit him in a few minutes, or are you sitting in a car with the engine running and an exhaust hose, or sucking exhaust through a hose into the car, we would all be ashamed of anybody that would not intervene. But he was out in 6 foot of cold water, and that's not a rescuer. That's a situation where closer to him being out there with a loaded gun or him being sitting on a beach with a bottle of gasoline and a cigarette lighter, because anybody that approaches that is in way more danger and risk of themselves losing their own lives because of the situation and the way he chose to commit suicide. So I think that should be factored in.
Okay, I thank you. And here's Ruben, who says something else ought to be factored in. He says, I would not risk my life for someone who's trying to kill himself. I was a lifeguard for 5 years, have since rescued a person who was drowning. I would not feel guilty about being there and not acting. And here's George, who says, civilians on the scene noted police and fire watching and not doing anything. If first responders are not acting, one might reasonably think that there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. I'm pretty sure that I would not leap in where angels fear to tread. Well, of course, the analysis, the responses, and the reaction will continue. And I want to extend thanks to Peter Hegarty, reporter for the Bay Area News Group, for joining us this segment. Thank you, Peter. And thanks to you, our listeners, and thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and to our producers, Kevin Guillory, Judy Kemmel, and Tina Lauerberg. Also, our engineer, Danny Bringer. Forum's executive producer is Raul Ramirez. And another hour of Forum coming up. We're going to talk about religion and politics in Pakistan. Stay tuned. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.